internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hey, everybody. Sorry
Hello,
we're late.
Hello, reindeer.
I'm a human being. You have known me for 14 years. If you know one thing about me, it's that I'm a human being. Hey, everybody. Sorry we're late. It was a heck of a week last week, but we're back.
We're back.
We're here.
Back again.
And we're reindeer. We're here. We're deer. Get used to it.
Okay.
How's everybody doing? It's beginning to, well, not here. I was going to say it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but it's 62 degrees.
It's like 60 degrees here in Cincinnati.
Oh, Boise.
We just bought the kids snow boots.
Let's not.
And I think that's what happened. We bought them new snow boots because their old ones were too small, and now it's not snowing.
Well, I think that what's happened is years and years of corporations and big industries. But you know what? We don't need to get into that.
I mean, yeah, it's supposed to make more extreme weather events.
Yeah, in Ohio, that means good weather for more than 2 days in a row. Can I tell you, this is a thing that I think happens. We'll get to Santa in a second, I promise, folks. But I think this happens everywhere you live, right? But I can't recall a time this happened more than since I've lived in Ohio, when you're like, oh, what's happening? It's like 60 degrees in December. And somebody's like, yeah, welcome to Ohio. And I'm like, I've lived in Ohio for many years. It's still weird.
Yeah.
Ugh. Just like everywhere thinks everyone from the state next door is a terrible driver. I think every state is like, yeah, we have a hold on weird weather. It's like, you don't.
You don't.
And it was like, wait, it was raining earlier, and now it's a beautiful day. Yeah, welcome to Montana. I don't know. Whatever. I'm sure it happens everywhere. But you know what else happens everywhere?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa. I was just talking with Tim and Guy of the Worst Idea of All Time / Until Death Do Us Part podcast. They are New Zealanders. And I was like, talking to them about Santa. I said, we're talking about Santa. And I was like, do you guys have, because I know like it's summer there, and in Australia, Santa, like, comes surfing in, you know, in, like, board shorts or whatever. And they're like, well, it's a weird mix because we have that Santa, but we also have, like, you know, Santa in, you know, a big furry suit with fur-lined gloves and hats. And you imagine he's just sweating his jingle bells off. And, like, it's a mix. And it's like, man, can you imagine if you're Santa and you're like, I don't want to go to work in this. Can I wear my shorts, please? And it's like, no, you got to wear layers. You got to do layers, Santa. So, Santa Claus. We did Santa Claus Part 1.
Yes. When we last left off, Santa Claus
was coming to town.
Yes. Washington Irving ushered him in to at least the New York area, proclaiming that him,
oh, yeah,
the
New York tried to. Yeah, New York was like, Santa's ours. And then we had to fight him, if I remember correctly.
And, of course, this new publicity brought in a load of new fans.
I'm just saying, I think Santa would like it better here. It's a little more laid back here in Cincinnati, but there's still plenty of stuff to do. I'm saying, Santa, if you want to set up shop here, I could hook you up.
This is when we really see the image of the, like, the 4th century monk, right? It is left behind.
Yeah.
Almost completely.
Yeah, that's old. That's old news.
And, you know, this publicity, this newfound publicity, means that he has to kind of, like, reshape himself, organize.
Rebrand.
The whole thing. Rebrand.
He rebranded for a more modern era.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Let's first talk about transportation.
Okay.
He had always...
He used to be a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer.
Well, not yet. Hold on.
Now he drives a Buick.
Hold on.
Okay.
You're getting ahead of ourselves. Santa Claus, the monk, walked everywhere.
Boring.
But throughout history, Santa has then been depicted using all types of modes of transportation. Boats, wagons.
Surfboards.
Surfboards, certainly, right?
There's a flying bell somewhere. Is that Italy?
Maybe. And so at this point in time, it is rumored that Santa put in a call to one of his Norwegian sailing buddies.
Uh-huh.
Who had dropped his anchor, right?
If you know what I mean.
Way up north in the hills of Norway now.
He dropped his anchor in the hills?
No, I mean, he dropped his anchor.
And then he went to the hills.
And then he went to greener pastures.
In Norway?
In Norway.
Are there green pastures in Norway?
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes.
Yep, sometimes. And started raising reindeer. Not just any reindeer.
Magical reindeer.
Reindeer that he fed enchanted corn to.
Of course.
As pictured.
To make them more delicious.
No.
Oh.
As pictured in the Rankin-Bass story of Santa Claus's coming to town. Now, there are lots of discrepancies between kind of like that retelling and like the historical
Rankin-Bass
sources.
Had a lot of fun.
Sure did.
With where they were like, yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town. But also, here's the Santa Claus and Rudolph. And also, the life and times of Santa Claus, where he was raised by a lion. What's up?
You know, I think that that we all have a lot of fun. We all have a lot of fun. That's
we do.
What I'm
this is
say.
The thing. I think that it's interesting now. So the age that we are, right? Showing BB and Dot Christmas stuff that's like real. Like this is what I know from like being a kid, right? And there was a time, children gather around, where there was like such a limit. We didn't have Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have streaming anything. And it was like you go through the TV guide and you're highlighting like, oh, Rudolph is on at this time. Oh, and this is gonna be on this time. And maybe when we were kids, he might have been in HRE at some VHSs,
right?
And eventually some DVDs, but. It was mostly like, this is what's on TV. And now we're like, BB and Dot, check this out. It's Will Vintner's Claymation Christmas. And they're like, what is this?
What is going on?
And you're like, okay, you don't like that. Here's The Life and Times of Santa Claus. What is it? What? Oh, okay. Here's The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold. No, thank you. And you're just like going through trying to like, they this year got into Pee-wee's Christmas, which
right,
is,
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Means a lot to me. That's like a macro staple.
Yeah.
But I think we also tried to show them Charlie Brown and they're like, this is sad.
Yeah, they didn't like
they're
Charlie
very
Brown.
Mean to that child. And we're like, yeah, that's true, guys. And they're like, what if we just watched Christmas episodes of Super Kitties and Gabby Zahas? And you're like, okay, yeah.
Fine. Okay. So the reindeer. Reindeer are chosen very specifically for this because they have some really, really great kind of adaptive qualities about them.
Sure.
Their hooves have the ability to grow and shrink depending on the season.
What?
Yeah. So they can easily balance on ice or use their hooves to grip wet grass.
Mm-hmm.
They also are built a little bit like shovels that allow them to dig through snow and swim across lakes.
Wow.
They also have, for a large animal, incredible speed and stamina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm in. So, I was going to say, why not horses? But now I'm finding out why. Yeah.
That is why.
Also, can you imagine trying to land some horses on top of a roof? Ooh. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
also just a reminder, and I think I've talked about this on Schmanners before, but in Up on the Rooftop, it took me way into my adult years, way longer than it should have, to realize that the lyrics were up on the rooftop, reindeers, pause.
P-A-U-S-E.
Not you hear some reindeer pause. Because reindeers don't have paws.
They have hooves.
Took me way too long.
They pause because out jumps good old Santa
yes,
Claus.
Yes, I get that now.
He doesn't do a tuck and roll.
Didn't put that together. Now, he is on a timetable.
Yes,
so
definitely.
He might occasionally have to do a little tuck and roll. Keep moving. I'll meet you at the next house. But for some reason, my brain was just like, yeah, I'm hearing it. Reindeer pause. Mm-hmm, No. Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to pull a sleigh, you do need multiple reindeer.
Of course.
So his Norwegian friend predicted that he might need as many as 8.
Yeah. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Donner, Dubin?
Nope.
Donner. Wait. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Donner, Cupid, Dasher, Vixen. I got them out of order, but you know. Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
Yes.
There it is. I've heard it said Donder.
I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But the year 1821, this is when the sleigh pullers make their debut. A written account occurred of them in that year when New York printer William Guiley published a 16-page booklet titled A New Year's Present to the Little Ones from 5 to 12, number 3. He did not really have a great knack for titling pieces.
Not concise, that
but
is.
But the poetry The poetry therein was great. He proclaimed to the world, "Old Santa Claus, with much delight, his reindeer drives this frosty night, o'er chimney tops, the tracks of snow, to bring his yearly gifts to you.
You below. What? Come on.
Well, I mean.
Bring his yearly gift to those below. Come on, man.
That's not what he wrote, but it's a sight rhyme. It's fine.
Sure.
Okay.
Is he still around? I don't want to have words with him. Only Lynn gets away with that. You can't do that, sir.
1823 is when we finally learn the reindeer's names from Clement Moore.
Clement Seymour?
Yes.
Not Clement Seymour. Clement C. Moore. The C is for Christmas.
Clark. It's for Clark.
Okay.
That is when he wrote the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas, and, you know.
Colloquially known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not the title of the poem, but indeed. And so this is where we have now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen.
Mm-hmm.
And Donder is very interesting because there are several texts that rename this reindeer Donner, and it's understandable because
Donder is hard to say.
Sure, yes,
Donder,
but it's thought that people say Donner for one reason. It's in the song, the 50s song sung by Gene Autry.
Oh, you know, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Yeah,
yeah, and you might want to say Donner because Donner means thunder in German.
Ooh.
But Donder means thunder in Dutch. So very close, right? Very same area of the world.
I think we should just say thunder. Now I kind of want to just say thunder.
Yeah.
Let's rename all of them like they're American gladiators. On ice, on laser. On Thunder, Vixen still works.
Vixen still works.
Yeah. Let's see. What other ones can we do? On Shatter,
Should we name Cupid? Should we name him Arrow?
Arrow is good. I'm trying to, what's the Roman for Cupid? Is Cupid and Eros? Eros works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Hades. Okay, sorry. Okay,
all right.
I'm done. Yeah.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah.
Great. The Library of Congress points out that in 1844, there is a collection of Moore's verses that actually has a foreword, an introduction from Clement C. Moore. And on page 125, he has written Donder. So the poem names Donder, the reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what we are going with.
Now, I will say, if you prefer Donner, right, the whole Santa, like, mythos is full of, like, well, we call him St. Nick, and we call him,
absolutely,
you know, Kris Kringle.
But you asked.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Hey, I did.
You did.
I just don't want people going around being like, actually, it's Donder, and you're wrong. Fist fight, right? Don't. It's fine.
Okay. So within a few years, this Christmas classic poem was so widespread that nearly every household in the United States either owned a copy or was able to recite it from memory.
Mm-hmm.
So then after this, we have got the next touchstone happens in the year 1889, where Santa Claus falls in love.
With Coca-Cola.
With his wife, Jessica.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that. But first, how about a thank you note for our sponsors? You know, now that Santa's in love,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to plan a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, I don't even know how to begin planning an, I guess Norwegian, North Pole, but you know who might know?
Okay.
Zola.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just think if Santa had that kind of resources.
And I'm telling you right now.
For his wedding.
The one thing I know about Santa Claus, busy guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even,
mm-hmm.
he only works, okay, he only travels one night a year. There's so much prep. There's so much prep going into it. There's so much he's got on his mind. He doesn't have time to figure out all the stuff that needs to go into a wedding. There's so much to it. And that's why Zola's here, for you and for Santa. I'm going to say it. I bet Santa used Zola. There. Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
Because they have beautifully designed save the dates and invitations, wedding websites with built-in registries, and the design, like, it sets the scene for the wedding, right? You can tie everything together in one idea. Beautiful. Plus, they can even suggest venues and vendors to make the experience more memorable, right? Amazing. So we didn't have Zola when we got married. We'd love to have it. Why didn't Santa tell us about it? Some friend. But that's okay, because you have it. So start planning at Zola.com/schmanners. That's Zola, Zola.com/schmanners. It's what Santa would do.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah. Zola. It's what Santa would do.
Last week, The Greatest Generation, the comedy podcast about old Star Trek TV shows like Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, just had its 500th episode.
And Greatest Trek, the podcast about the new Star Trek shows like Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, and Discovery, just had its 250th episode.
So whether you have a task that's roughly 750 hours long, or you want to learn about some of the production techniques that go into making one of the greatest franchises in television history, you should give us a try either way.
The Greatest Generation and Greatest Trek, the best reviewed, most listened to Star Trek podcasts in the world. They're on Maximum Fun.
Cameron Esposito here, comedian and host of Query. Every week I get to interview someone amazing from the LGBTQIA plus community. Some queeros. I chat with them about their lives, loves, careers, and more. I've talked to, you know, giant celebs, Trixie Mattel, Lena Waithe, Tegan, and Sarah Quinn, but also astronauts, reverends, nurses. It's funny, it gets deep, and hopefully it makes you feel like you're part of something. Join me every Monday on Maximum Fun to listen to Query with Cameron Esposito.
Okay, so Santa has just met Jessica.
Yes. In 1889, the poet Catherine Lee Bates broke the story. Catherine Lee Bates.
Okay.
Broke the story that Santa had fallen in love with Jessica, a beautiful woman from Sombertown, up near the North Pole.
What a great name. Can I tell you, that's a Hallmark movie that writes itself, right? Here's a woman in Sombertown. Oh, there's no joy in Sombertown. There's not a lot of partying in Sombertown. And who's this guy? A stranger comes to town. Well, it's Santa Claus. This guy loves to party. He brings dancing back to Sombertown. He's played by Kevin Bacon. That's right.
Okay.
He brings dancing back.
Well, TM, TM, TM.
Yeah. Travis McElroy.
We're going to call Hallmark.
Yeah.
Okay. They had a very low-key ceremony out in the woods, in the snow, just outside the North Pole.
Rudolph officiated.
No, but their animal friends and family were all there.
Yeah.
Okay. And to this day, he and Jessica, Santa Claus and Jessica, hold the Guinness World Record for the longest marriage. So far, 134 years.
Listen, I know her name is Jessica, but it's weird. It's weird for me to think of Mrs. Claus as Jessica.
Everybody has a name.
Listen, I know that. I know that. But it's like if I saw the president and I was like, what up, Joe? it just feels like Mrs. Claus feels like her title. It's just weird.
And Mrs. Claus would complete this kind of overhaul, right, to Santa's brand. This is when they moved their operation legitimately to the North Pole.
Yeah.
This is when they began to hire elves.
Sure.
They were locals. Okay. To help manage the toy production. And Mrs. Claus would be the kind of like PR manager.
Sure. Yeah.
So that Santa could concentrate on, you know, reading letters and designing toys and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I like the idea of Mrs. Claus operating as like HR as well, or maybe like ER. Right? Where she's there and she's like solving elf disputes or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this doesn't need to make it to Santa's plate. It's full of cookies. So let's solve this ourselves. Elf to elf. We can figure this out.
In 1891, Santa received the first of many presidential endorsements. The United States president at the time, Benjamin Harrison, reportedly told the press, quote, "We shall have an old-fashioned Christmas tree for the grandchildren upstairs, and let me be Santa Claus himself. Let me hope that my example will be followed by every family in the land."
Okay. I mean, very, like, Christian normative, but
sure,
yeah.
Sure. But Santa Claus remained a touchstone in 1889. This is when the first film appearance of Santa Claus makes its debut. G.A. Smith captured the big guy placing presents underneath a tree for children.
Mm-hmm.
And technology continued to improve. Santa made more and more public appearances as we entered the 20th century. Let's see, in 1924 is when he began to appear in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Classic.
And, I mean, here's the thing, right? Such a warm welcome. Now he does it every year.
Yeah.
Loved doing it.
Well, it's nice to have structure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It also is nice when people are, like, trying to get that Christmas creep earlier and earlier. It's nice to have Santa being like, nah. No. Day after Thanksgiving, guys.
Today. And no further.
No further. This far. No further.
That's right.
Let Thanksgiving Turkey Tom have his day, and Halloween Hank, let them have their time.
And then in 1939 is when...
It's probably like Halloween Hilda, right? It would probably be like a witch kind of name. Yeah.
1939 is when...
My name's Hank. I'm a ghost. That doesn't work. I'm a vampire. My name's Hank. I'm Hank the werewolf. That one actually kind of works. I like that one. I don't have any more.
Okay, yeah. All right. 1939.
Hank the Hobgoblin. Okay.
This is when Donder welcomed his firstborn, that sweet little reindeer with an exceptionally red nose.
Yeah.
And Santa encouraged him and gave him the role of head navigator.
Now, that's not the story I've heard, Teresa Murray. I don't remember Santa being like, this rules. Right out the gate, everyone, look how cool Rudolph is.
Eventually, everyone loved Rudolph.
Yeah, once he proved his worth to them.
There are those who would say that the whole situation was exaggerated for television.
Well, yeah, you see that a lot in bio movies, right? Where it's just like, we were so poor. And it's like, we weren't that poor. And it's like, yeah, but it makes it better if I had to, like, carve my own guitar out of a tree branch or whatever.
Right, right.
Okay.
Great.
So you're saying that maybe Rudolph, talking to his, like, biographer, was like, they were all mean to me. And Donner's like, I don't remember any of that. You were on the softball team. What are you talking about? They let you play in their reindeer games all the time.
I know that oftentimes, even the best of sports engage in a little kind of competitive trash talk.
This
right?
is, so BB played soccer this year, and there was a game where middle of, like, playing, like, she was on the field, and she's like, her shoulders drooped, and she walked up and was like, buddy, what are you doing? The game's still going. She goes, I just feel like the other team doesn't care about us. And I was like, wait, get back out there.
It was a very interesting conversation.
Like, I'm not a sports dad at all. And I'm like, yeah, we can talk about that later. But right now, they're actively still playing soccer. And she went back on the field for about 2 minutes. And then we watched her go over to her coach and take herself out and, like, swap out with somebody else. And I was like, okay.
So we all can see how some good-natured, like, competitive sportsmanship can turn the most tender of hearts a little cold.
Yeah, but I've always found the Rudolph story to be a little fishy, right? Because, like, if a kid now, right, was born with, like, oh, yeah, my face lights up, right? Like, I have glowing red eyes. It would be weird,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But there would also be, like, have you seen this kid on TikTok with the, like, his nose glow? It's incredible, right? Like, we would all be, like, studying him more than we would be like, yeah, what a nerd.
It would be fascination.
Yeah.
Certainly. Anyway, and this is when the namesake comes up. Rudolph is actually named after Santa's Norwegian friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the caretaker. of the reindeer. There are lots more opportunities for Santa to be portrayed in hundreds of Christmas specials by a wide variety of acting heroes. Ed Asner,
twice.
Tom Hanks. Yep.
Twice, Ed. Ed Asner has been in multiple things, actually, because he was in the Elf live action. He was in the Elf, like, animated claymation one. Even though, like, everybody else in it was different, Ed Asner was the same. I think Ed Asner was also in A Storybots Christmas as Santa Claus. I feel like Ed Asner has played Santa multiple times.
Tom Hanks, Andy Griffith, Fred Astaire, Richard Attenborough, and more, of course.
Sure.
Of course, more. And
Richard Attenborough is one of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too. I really like that one.
That movie.
So beautiful.
The also, lighting. Dylan McDermott, so handsome.
They really made everybody look amazing.
Oh, my God.
Video,
so good.
Movie. Yeah.
And the scene where he does sign language with a little girl. Oh, my God. It gets me.
This takes us all the way up to the 1980s when we start to see the most ingenious, like, step of this rebrand.
Okay.
Mall Santas.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and this is what Mrs. Claus said. She said it was because she was worried that children who could not read or write yet, the very littlest ones, had no outlet to get their wishes to Santa.
Sure.
And so you start getting the Santa network going, where you
Santa's
can
agents.
You can tell your mall Santa what you want for Christmas, and you can bet your bippy that Santa Claus gets that message.
I've also always liked it as, like, Santa, be it in film, TV, books, or just discussed, right, is very ethereal to children who have a hard time, like, picturing, you know, these things as, like, when you talk about, like, for the moon, right, and you're looking at the moon, yeah, what does that really mean to them, right? They see it. What does that mean? But if you're like, here we are, that is a Santa that works for Santa, and, like, let's anchor this mentally for you, it's a good anchor.
I want to give you some stats.
Oh, please.
Okay. Santa.
How many RBIs? How many home runs?
Statistics? Santistics? Is that
no.
statistics?
No.
No. That's not anything? Okay. I
Saint Nick sticks.
All right. According to the site Data Axel, Santa visits approximately 183 million children every Christmas Eve, bearing a whopping 353 million gifts.
Okay.
According to them, 31 million of those gifts are books, 10 million are sports equipment, and 14 million are toys for pets.
Oh, okay.
Can't forget our little furry friends.
Sure.
Santa also eats around 11 million pounds of cookies and drinks 22 million gallons of milk, which is enough to fill 278 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
And, you know, we don't talk about this enough, but it's a lot of presents. Maybe he's got, like, dead drops, right? Maybe it's just like, okay, and we have it scheduled of, like, and then pick up the next, like, sack of presents here, the next sack of presents here, right?
It's a good thought.
Yeah. Like a postal distribution center, you know what I mean? Because, like, when they deliver the mail, they don't deliver all the mail in one truck.
That's true. That's true. Good thinking.
Thank you. I'm very smart.
So I think that, in conclusion, Santa...
Baby.
...has really got the best thing going. And we've always talked about how the way that you keep, you know, the mannerly spirit is from our patron saint, Emily Post, is you want to set the best example, right? And I think that Santa Claus really does set the best example for generosity and Christmas cheer and really just being that kind of, like, light of joy in the darkest time of the year.
I agree.
Yeah. As of right now, Santa, the elves, Mrs. Claus, the reindeer, the whole community working diligently to deliver another wonderful Christmas to all of our fanners out there. So Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays.
And happy holidays.
Celebrate however you want. You know what I mean? You could incorporate Santa into anything. You know what I mean? Put them in Halloween. Who cares?
I love it.
Yeah. One last little personal story. The girls had Spirit Week at school. Mm-hmm, and one of them was like, dress as your favorite winter holiday, which is, I think, very an inclusive way of putting it. And both of our girls, Dot was like, Halloween. And B was like, Valentine's Day. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Perfect.
Sounds great, guys. Sounds good. Hey, everybody. Happy holidays. Want to tell you guys, I don't know. It's the morning of. We haven't watched it yet, but the Candlelights episode goes up tonight on the 16th, and I bet it's going to be amazing. And you're listening to this next week, so it was amazing.
Still is amazing.
Still is amazing, because even if you didn't watch it live, it is video on demand for until the end of the year, I think until January 1st, so you can still watch it. Going to bit.ly/candlenights2023. Tickets are only $5. It supports the Harmony House in Huntington, West Virginia. And also wanted to say, this is going to be our last episode of the year. Thank you so much for a great 2023. We're looking forward to 2024. Thank you to our researcher, Alex, without whom we would not be able to make this show. Thank you to our editor, Rachel, without whom we would not be able to make this show. And thank you to you for listening. We appreciate you immensely.
Thank you, Teresa, for listening.
Yes, thank you. What else?
We always thank Brent Buntelfloss Black for writing our theme music, which is available as a ringtone where those are found. Also, thank you to Bruja Betty Pennant Photography for the cover picture of our fan-run Facebook group, Schmanners Fanners. If you love to give and get excellent advice from other fans, go ahead and join that group today. As always, we are currently taking topic submissions, suggestions, questions, idioms, all of that stuff. Send it to schmannerscast@gmail.com and say hi to Alex, because she reads everyone.
And that's going to do it for this year. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You've been listening to Schmanners. Oh, join us again next week.
Next year.
Oh!
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.